Well, if you have a Bible, please open it to 1 Thessalonians 5. 1 Thessalonians 5. If you don't, the scripture is in the bulletin. Would love for you all to follow along. We have some special things planned this morning. And one of those is to have the New City Church group that's going from Lakeside, all those families to sit right down here. And as I was thinking about what would be an appropriate portion of Scripture on a day such as today, 1 Thessalonians 5 came to my mind. And so I'm going to read verses 12 through 18. And when I speak, basically I'm going to direct my thoughts to the group down here. But this text is for all of us who see in Scripture the local church as important. So even though I'll be speaking to Adam and Nathan and the group down here from this passage of Scripture, just for a couple of moments, I want you to listen in because it applies to myself, the pastoral staff, and the people here as well. So let me read 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 12 through 18. Paul wrote, "We ask you, brothers, to respect those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Be at peace among yourselves, and we urge you, brothers, admonish the idle, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with them all. See that no one repays anyone evil for evil, but always seek to do good to one another and to everyone. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, giving thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus." And so when I look at the families, this is not easy to look at. They're beautiful. It's just not easy for me emotionally to look at. When I thought about the fact that we're family, what does that mean in Scripture? We're God's the Father and we're His children, and the local church is an expression of a spiritual family. And the word family, I think, brings up all kinds of thoughts to our minds, depending on how you were raised. Some, like myself, have wonderful memories of family. For others, it's painful to even think about family. Some struggle with the truth that God is Father because of their physical father. And in numbers of counseling situations, has it been very difficult to try for someone to grasp the concept of God as Father. Matter of fact, that term brought anger in their mind because of their own father. But the Scriptures, Paul in the Scriptures, say the local church is a family. And the converts of Thessalonica joined a new spiritual family. And for many, it was the only real family that they ever had, that they could identify with. And so when Paul talks about the church as a family, I think I can understand, especially today, what that means. And so just from the passage, to those of you that are going to be sent off from our church, being the mother church, and seeing you go, just it's only 6-7 miles to the east of us. Seems farther than that, to be honest, but it's a short distance. I just want to challenge you about the spiritual family that you belong to here and that you're going to be establishing there. And so I want to highlight two essentials to a thriving spiritual family just from the first couple of verses of this: family leadership and family respect. And so let me start with spiritual family leadership. It's very clear in my almost 20 years of pastoring that without leadership, the family will fall apart. I mean, it just, you can almost in a counseling situation go back and get the history of the family, and you can see the seeds for all kinds of consequences. And in Scripture, and I'm speaking to you on behalf of Adam and Nathan and Chuck, who's not with us here this morning, God has ordained leadership for the local church family, and God has specifically called them out to be your spiritual leaders. He's ordained leadership. Jesus Christ is certainly the head of the church, and we've tried to make that case on numerous times in our almost 14 years here. But he's given certain men to the church family to pastor and to teach and to lead, to shepherd and to care for you. And I can honestly tell you that the two that are from Lakeside, Adam and Nathan, have such a love and a giftedness to lead you. And my encouragement is for you to follow them. Now, I just want to point out in Scripture, without doing a deep dive here, I want you to notice three qualities of that Adam and Nathan both, I think, have and will exhibit to you in the days ahead that will be worthy of you following them. And they're just listed right here in the text. Look what it says in verse 12. We ask you, brothers or brothers and sisters, to respect those who, number one, labor among you, number two, are over you in the Lord, and number three, admonish you. So God has given you Adam and Nathan to, number one, labor among you. And the key word to me for this morning is among and labor. Adam and Nathan, as they already have exhibited, they're going to grow weary in shepherding and loving and caring for you. And the idea of the word labor means to even be exhausted right in your midst. They're going to pour themselves out for you. And they're worthy to be followed. And then it says, not only are they going to labor amongst you, and I like how Paul starts with, no, they're amongst you. But then look at the second thing he says, they're over you in the Lord. So no, they're amongst you. They're one of you. They're going to be the leading example for you, but they're over you in the Lord. And this word literally means to stand in front of, on behalf of, or for the sake of. It's not so much as over you that Adam and Nathan will be in their charge, but it's more so in front of you. Not so much over you as in front of you. To lead, direct, protect, provide, care for. And they're worthy for you to follow them. And then the third thing here is that their third essential or part of their work that Paul deemed very important is there to admonish you. And here's where I really want you to, as a pastor, perk up your ears. They're loving by nature, and they're caring by nature, and they're serving by nature, and they love you by nature, but they're given the responsibility. The word here is to admonish you. It literally means to warn or caution or instruct you in your conduct of how you should live as a follower of Christ. It's really an idea of they're responsible to make sure that you're living your lives in a way that's glorifying to God. It's their responsibility to do that. And there's no more difficult task for myself as a pastor than admonishing. Because often the person being admonished doesn't accept it in the love by which it's meant. But it's their God-given responsibility. It literally means the word admonish to put sense into one's mind. And let's be honest, every once in a while we need somebody to come alongside us and put some sense into us. I mean, I've been married 36 years, and I'm still getting some sense put into me. Do you know what I'm... It's difficult business for a pastor. Very difficult. Believers are called to live differently from the world, and leaders are challenged with the responsibility to challenge and instruct them how to live differently. It's very difficult. So I would encourage you and say they're worthy to be followed, to labor amongst you, and they certainly will, and they already have. That's why it's very clear to the elders that they should be the leaders of New City Church and to be over you, because they're going to be in front of you and not just over you. And then Adam will take the lead in this to caution you, to instruct you, to encourage you how to live a godly life. And so you have worthy leaders that God has raised up here at Lakeside to lead you. I'm very thankful for that. But just notice, just real quickly from the passage, there's a family respect that is absolutely necessary for God to get the blessing. And there's just a couple of words that are used. Let me point them out. So as they labor among you and they're over you in the Lord and they admonish you, here's three qualities, here's three reactions back that are pleasing to God. Number one, to respect them. That's what it says. We ask you, brothers, to respect those who labor among you, to recognize, to acknowledge that God has placed them in your life for His glory, to respect them, acknowledge them publicly and privately, to respect them for who they are and what God has called them to do. And then the second quality or mindset is to esteem them. And you'll notice in the passage in verse 3, to esteem them very highly in love because of their work, because of what they're called to do. Unconditional love because of their work. The work of the gospel makes the under-shepherd worthy of your respect. And I would say the two men that are called from Lakeside to be leading you are worthy of your respect and your esteem to build them up, Adam, Nathan, and Chuck as well. And then just lastly, and just having pastored Lakeside here for almost 14 years, the last quality it says, and to be at peace among yourselves. Now, if we were to go to the rest of the passage, and we're going to stop right here, if we were to go to the rest of the passage in the next couple of verses, there's 15 rapid-fire commands. And they're going to be do this, bang, 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 15 of them, rapid fire. But the very first one is to keep peace amongst yourselves, to make peace, to cultivate peace, to be a peacemaker, to be a person of peace amongst yourselves, to pray for one another, and to love one another. In recent weeks, I've been asked, how I feel about the families that are leaving. Being sent is a better word than leaving for New City Church, and I've answered that for me, it's bittersweet. The best way for me to describe my feeling is to compare it to several years ago when my son John shared with Deb and I that he had accepted a pastor position in New Jersey. I was overjoyed and then deeply sad at the same time. Overjoyed because of all the call to ministry, sad because of the distance. But both of those emotions are the product of family love. And so it is with you. In reality, the distance has made Deb and I love and appreciate John and Anna and the grandkids in an even deeper way. And so it is with you. We're family, and we'll always be family. And I'm thankful for each of you. And sending you off to do gospel ministry at New City Church in Ankeny, even though it's only a couple of miles away, is bittersweet, but overall, I wouldn't have it any other way. I'm very thankful and proud and just want to encourage you in the Lord. Let me have a word of prayer, and then we have a little video mainly of pictures of days gone by with Adam and Gina and Nate and Susan ministering here at Lakeside Fellowship. Let me pray. Father, thank you again for your goodness. Lord, we're going to pray for this group a couple of times here this morning, but Lord, I count it a privilege to see the kids and these young people and Nate and Adam as their shepherds and these gifted people who love you and are sacrificing to go. And Lord, I'm just I'm just so overjoyed. We're all overjoyed and thankful, and yet, Lord, there's a grieving, but we don't grieve as those who have no hope, and we wouldn't have it any other way, Lord. And so we're very thankful. Lord, would you receive all the honor and the glory in Christ's precious name? Amen.